I want us to, we're going to take a look at the scripture in a little bit. But I want us to imagine if we took a survey of, if we're able to take a survey of all the people who claim to be Christians in the United States of America. Just imagine if we had access, like a WhatsApp group, to all of the millions of people who claim to be Christians. And we were to say, we were to ask them, what is the priority of the church? We just threw that survey out. What would people respond back? What would they say? I think they would say something like this. I think some people will say, well, the priority of the church is to speak up for the oppressed. I think we'll get a number of responses like that. This is just my speculation. I think another big category of responses would be the priority of the church should be to improve the society through political activism. There are a lot of people in this country that believe that the role of the church should be to better the nation through political activity. Now, you may not believe it, but there are a lot of people who do. So I think that would be another big category. And I think still others may say that the priority of the church should be to support the poor and needy. That's what I think. I think generally speaking, a lot of people kind of think along those lines. And so I think these are just some of the big categories that I sort of imagine that we, if we took a survey, that we'd get these responses back. And the question really is, what does the Bible say? What do the scriptures say the priority of the church should be? Can we gather some insight from the Word of God to find an answer to that question? I believe that we can look at the scriptures and find the answer to that question. But I think in order to find the answer from the Bible, we must first set aside our own personal opinions on the matter. Because some of us, even in the room, may think, yes, we should be feeding the poor. We should be doing that. Some of you may agree, we should be more involved politically. And some of you may think, yeah, we should be speaking up for the oppressed. But I think we should set aside some of those beliefs. Because I want to put before you that I believe that the priority of the church is to tell others about the good news of Jesus. That's what I believe. But I think if we took a survey of all the millions of people who say that they're Christians, that would not be the priority. But today we're going to take a look at the scriptures. And I hope that we will see that the priority of the church is to testify about Jesus. So here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 26. When the advocate comes, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. According to Jesus, the primary role of the Holy Spirit is to testify. It's to speak about Jesus. And he said, not only will the Holy Spirit testify, but in verse 27, he says to his followers, and you also must testify. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts, which is the incredible story of the church in the first century, you'll see the Holy Spirit speaking, directing, instructing his followers, go here, do this, say this. The Holy Spirit is what I would call the great conductor of the men and women who comprised the first century church. And so it is important to pay attention to the role of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is directing the church to go in one particular direction, who are we to say we're not going in that direction? Whose church is it? In John 16, here's what Jesus says. In verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now hear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, again, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So again, the Holy Spirit has a role to guide us into all truth. And again, he says that the Holy Spirit is someone who will speak. But he will not speak on his own. He will speak under the authority of Jesus. So as God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus is now sending his Holy Spirit. And so we've got to understand the authority of the Holy Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit must be the one to direct us in our path. We know that the Holy Spirit worked through men and women in the first century. And today I want to focus on one of those men. His name, we all know him as Peter. He was the one who preached the very first message of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. And I want us to talk a little bit about Peter and see what the Holy Spirit, what the Bible says, what we can learn about the Apostle Peter. So in Mark chapter 1, in verse 16, what can we learn about Peter? It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So Simon, this is his name here, was eventually renamed Peter. And this is the first time we read about Peter in the gospel. He was a fisherman, and he was called by Jesus to come and be his follower. And you know what? You know what Peter did? He left everything. This was a radical decision. Imagine Jesus coming to your job. Just showing up at your job one day and just saying, come follow me. And imagine just you packing up, sending in your resignation. No question about your 401k or your retirement benefit or any of that stuff. You resign. Imagine this is what happened. He left. He quit. And he decided to follow Jesus. It's a radical decision, right? So this is Peter. The other thing we know about Peter is that he was a married man. This is really interesting. Take a look at this. In verse 29 of Mark 1, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. That's Peter there, Simon. And he says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. You see in verse 30 how it says Simon's mother-in-law? How do you get a mother-in-law? How do you order her online? How does someone get a mother-in-law? The only way he can get a mother-in-law is if he's married. Peter was married. And you know what married people do? They engage in marital bliss. Well, we shouldn't talk about that in church. This is from God. God himself ordained marriage. So Peter was married. He's a married man. This is what the scriptures reveal to us. But there's something more that we need to know about Peter. You ready? That's why I love reading the Bible, man. You learn so much. In 1 Peter chapter 5, check this out. In 1 Peter 5, it says, to the elders and the flock, Peter writes, to the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Okay. He says, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. So Peter was an elder. And if you're familiar with any of the passages about being an elder, elders must be family men, meaning they must have children. So Peter was married, and Peter had children. Now there's only one way for people to have children. Right? You know the way, right? Okay, that's only one way. It's been like that from day one, right? This is what the scriptures reveal about Peter. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up in the Catholic faith. And in the Catholic tradition, they say that Peter was the first pope. This is what I was instructed. But in the Catholic tradition, the priests are not supposed to be married. You see, so now I had a problem. I had a real problem that I had to wrestle through because for so many years of my life, I believed that Peter was unmarried. So I have to say I was shocked and very disappointed to read that the man was married. And then there was a double whammy. He was having kids. Well, not he. His wife was having kids. But him and his wife were doing things to produce kids. And you may laugh and think, why is Sean talking about this? This was a major boulder in my faith. Because I'd been taught that you're not, as a pope, as a priest, you're not supposed to be married. But I'm seeing in the Bible that this is a married man who has kids. And he was still called by Jesus. Jesus didn't have any problem with him being married. And he didn't have any problem with him having children. So why are we talking about this? I need to share with you what's going on with me and what happened with me in my faith journey. Okay? You may not have been told these things, but this is what I was told. And I had to wrestle with these things. I'm telling you, I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm going, this scripture cannot be right. Why? Because I had a belief in my mind that Peter was unmarried. That's why we got to read the Bible. Because sometimes we hold on to these traditions that are not rooted in biblical truth. So we got to keep these things in mind. Because we're going to go to another passage. Remember, Peter was called to be a follower of Jesus. He was a married man. And he was a father. All right. Now, for some of you, you may be shocked to hear these things. And you think, what kind of church is this? Listen, don't get upset with me, okay? I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. All right? Okay. So check this out. Acts chapter 5, we're going to read in verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. Now, Peter was also chosen to be one of the apostles. So when they speak about the apostles, they're also speaking about Peter, because he was one of the apostles. All right? It says, all the believers used to meet together in Simon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. So Peter was top shelf among the apostles, man. They imagine having that much power that they just want your shadow to pass by. That's some serious stuff. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest, now the high priest is like the leading authority in Jerusalem. He had a lot of power vested in him, and he had the ability to make decisions regarding legal matters. So the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles, and remember, in that number, Peter, and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. So imagine the scene. The jail is locked, the doors are locked, but the apostles are not there. How did they get out? It wasn't like if they were the mafia and they did a, you know, jail break and blew up the bars or the wall. Nothing like that. The Holy Spirit just found an invisible way to get them through. That must have been so cool, right? On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. This is a high priest talking to the apostles. You're a bad boy. He said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. You filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And people are like, aren't you like fired up about this? It's like, this is what I'm talking about, man. This is real Christian faith. All right. Let's go back. These men were in jail. They spent the whole night in jail. And then there's a miraculous escape. And then the angel says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new way of life. And it says at daybreak, they entered the temple courts. So they spend the whole night in jail. And then as the sun is rising, they go to the temple courts. And what are they doing? They're teaching about Jesus. But wait. Peter is a married man, and he has kids. And I ask you this, why didn't the Holy Spirit tell him something like this? Peter, you had a long night. It was rough. Your wife is worried about you. She hasn't seen you all night. Your kids, they're crying, wondering, where's daddy? Your kids need a father. You've had a long, rough night in that prison. Peter, you need to focus on your family at this time. You need to go tell your wife that you're okay. Go give her a hug. You need to go play with your kids and tell them that daddy's okay. Why didn't the Holy Spirit tell him that? How do you explain that the Holy Spirit didn't tell him, go focus on your family after a rough night in jail? How do you explain that? That knowing this man has not been home for a whole night, that he has a wife and kids at home, the Holy Spirit said, you go to the temple courts and you tell everybody about this new way of life. What do we learn about the work of the Holy Spirit? What I see is that the Holy Spirit prioritizes testifying about the message of Jesus. And in this instance, the Holy Spirit said, it is better to testify about Jesus and use this opportunity right here and right now than to go home to your wife and kids. You don't think Peter was concerned about his wife and kids? You don't think he missed them? Of course he missed them. You don't think he wanted to go give them all a hug? Of course he wanted to do that. But Peter decided a long time ago, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to determine my steps. And what am I saying? Am I saying that we're not supposed to worry about our lives or our wives or our kids? I'm not saying that. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit make the final say in the matter. Because sometimes we can be so wrapped in and wrapped up. And we prioritize things that may not necessarily need our prioritization at the moment. I'm sure Peter had a lot of time after he was preaching to go tell his wife and kids, hey, I'm doing all right. But what I see here is the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do, which is to testify. And so, what do we say about the priorities of the church? Is the priority of the church to speak up for the oppressed? Sometimes. Is it a priority of the church to improve the society through political activism? Possibly. Is it a priority of the church to support the poor and needy? Yes. But those priorities do not supersede testifying about the message of Jesus. And I think it's very important. I think it's very important as men and women who claim to be Christians, that we understand that we too are under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit values the work of testifying about the message of Jesus, then so should we. I want to close in Galatians chapter 5. Just some practical applications. In verse 25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So who's the us who he's talking about? He says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He's not talking about the whole world, because the whole world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Who are the people who have the Holy Spirit? People who have the Holy Spirit are the people who have made Jesus Lord of their life, they've repented of their sins, and they've been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That information is found in Acts 2, verses 38, 39, and 40. You could check it all out. Not everybody has done that. I grew up in church. Okay, I grew up in church. As I shared before, I grew up in the Catholic Church. All my life, I never made Jesus Lord of my life. I never repented of my sins. I was never baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. But I grew up in church. But nobody ever taught me that I needed to do these things. It's only when I was instructed in the scriptures at 24 years old did I realize, wait a minute, I grew up in church, but nobody ever taught me these things. And then I made a decision to repent of my sins, make Jesus Lord of my life, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. There are many people who have grown up in church that have never heard the message of the gospel. I was one of them. Okay? So, he says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. So how do we do that? We got to recognize that the Holy Spirit is living in us. And that the Holy Spirit is working towards his divine objective. And we who have the Holy Spirit must listen attentively to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, knowing that it is he is the one who is searching people's hearts and minds. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will lead us to people who are looking to have a relationship with God. I think we also got to trust the Spirit. Because just as the Apostle Peter was worried about his wife and his kids, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't worry about them. I got them. You need to go and proclaim, testify. We got to trust that the Holy Spirit is working in a similar way. And sometimes we may feel like, I got to do this. Holy Spirit said, what? Do this instead. And if we're not humble, and if we're not submissive to the Holy Spirit, we're just going to do what we feel like doing. And these inner impulses, which are not necessarily bad impulses, but when we put our human impulses over the divine direction of God, we are going to run into problems eventually. This is what Paul is saying, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, meaning if the Holy Spirit is stepping this way, you got to step with the Holy Spirit. I think we've got to be prayerful. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can I be used to testify about Jesus? Each one of us should be voluntarily asking the Holy Spirit, please show us. Don't look at me. Seriously. Like, I'm up here preaching and some people go, I'll never be able to do that. You don't got to do what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit is using me in a way that's different than the Holy Spirit would want to use you, right? But there's somebody who you can reach that I will never be able to reach. Right? You may be on a bus or on a train. What you going to do? Sean, come talk to this guy. I'm not. Really? It's not going to work that way. The question is, how can I be used to testify about Jesus? We can ask that question every single day. Because what the scripture says, today is the day of salvation. You may meet somebody today on the way home. You can meet somebody right here. That will be like, what? you really want to know about Jesus? Yes, I do. Okay. Let me get with you and share with you what I know. This is the amazing power that the Holy Spirit wants to unleash in all of us. You know, next Sunday is a World Cup final next Sunday. 3 o'clock. Euro thinks England's going to be in the final. We'll see. Now, I'll tell you, the World Cup is, there are a lot of people that want to watch that game. I was talking to Dwayne Lawrence earlier this week, and, you know, Dwayne's a big hockey fan, and I told Dwayne, I said, Dwayne, do you know that there are way more people watching the World Cup than hockey? Well, a good question to ask the Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit, can I host a World Cup? Can I do that? Can I host a World Cup watch party and maybe invite my neighbors, invite my friends? Can I do that? Is it possible for me to use some the blessings that you've given me, this huge big screen TV that I have in my house? That 75-foot screen that I got in my home. And this nice place that I have. Holy Spirit, do you think, Spirit, that I could maybe? If you pray and ask God, He'll answer you. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of people that want to watch that game. Just think about that for a little bit. You just have to set it up, and they'll be there. But this all has to be Holy Spirit driven. It can't be, well, my pastor making me have a watch party. Really? You know, and he's keeping us after 12, and he's making me do this. Okay, maybe. I get it. Not everybody's into the game. I get it. I am, and I'd like to have some folks over to my house. But maybe there's some other way that God wants to use you. Maybe there's another way that God wants to use you to accomplish His grand objective, which is to testify about Jesus. In closing, I just want us to think for a little bit and imagine how many opportunities we in this church could give others if all of us listened attentively to the Holy Spirit. Just think about that for a little bit. Imagine how many people we just collectively could, how many people we could reach if every one of us who have the Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do?
Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus.